Opinion Podcast. I am your host, Noah Gillian. So happy you decided to join in today. It is the 19th of October, 2021, and we are here to recap another great week in sports. On today's episode, we are going to be doing our annual season preview show for the NBA 2021-2022 season. We're going to go through each team real quick and just give a quick blurb about what each team did this offseason and what it means for the upcoming season. We'll be going into a lot more depth as the season goes on, but this is kind of just a primer for the year and how we kind of see it going down. Joining the show today is longtime contributor of the One Man's Opinion Podcast, Connor Laverty. What's going on, Con? You ready to go?
Yeah, it's always a good time of year when the NBA basketball's back, so I think a lot of people are excited. We got a little bit of an early start this year, and it should be fun. I'm ready to go.
Yeah, usually it's a little bit towards Halloween, but now we got it a little bit earlier this year. But before we get started, if you want to follow us on social media, you can find Connor at Connor_Lav21. You can find me on Twitter at Noah Gillian, and you can find the show's account at OneManOpinion17. So without further ado, let's just jump right into it. So on today's episode, we're going to go through each team, obviously in the NBA, and just give a quick word on the team and their outlook. So let's start in the Eastern Conference, and let's start at the top. We're going to go from the end of the regular season standings last year and just kind of go down them real quick. Obviously, last year, number one was the Philadelphia 76ers. We're going to go pretty in-depth on the Sixers in an upcoming episode, so we're not going to go too deep here, but Connor, just real quick, obviously they were the one seed last year. Do you have, you think they're, obviously with the Ben Simmons drama, we'll get into that in a different episode, but are you think they're still, a top four contender in the East with or without him?
Yeah, I think there's no doubt that they can be. He should not be named. We're not going to talk about on this podcast, but at least I'm not going to. But when you have a guy like Joel Embiid on your team, I mean, you're going to be a competitive ball club. He's just that good, and he makes those around him so much better. So as long as he's on the team, he's healthy, he's doing his thing, this Sixers team could definitely be a top four seed. I mean, we got some young guys who we're going to be relying on, especially if you-know-who isn't going to be playing for us. Guys like Tyrese Maxey, Shake Milton, a guy who I know everyone's really looking forward to seeing in action, seeing if Doc plays him, Isaiah Joe. He looked great in the preseason. So there are guys who we could be relying heavily on, and we're going to have to see how that plays out. But at the same time, we've got our rock and our anchor, so as long as he's here, we can compete. Yeah.
I agree. I think Joel has a serious shot at MVP this year as long as health permits. Obviously he had a great shot last year, but yeah, like I said, we're gonna get into the Sixers in more detail in a coming episode. So let's go to the next drama filled team in the league, who finished number two in the East last year, the Brooklyn Nets. Obviously still one of the most talented team in the league with their big three of James Harden, Kevin Durant, and Kyrie Irving. Obviously, Kyrie Irving is a little bit on the fence as to whether he's going to be there game one. But regardless, they still have James Harden and Kevin Durant, two of the best scorers in NBA history. So I'll just swing it right back to you again, Con. Obviously, they made a couple big pickups in Paul Millsap, and they brought back LaMarcus Aldridge to come off their bench. So kind of beefed up their front court a little bit after they were a little bit thin there. So, are you seeing a repeat performance from the Nets this year, coming off a pretty good year in which they won 67% of their games and took home the number two seed?
Yeah, I mean, if all three of them are playing, there's really no reason they shouldn't be in the NBA Finals and coming out of the East. But we all know it doesn't look like Kyrie's going to be playing anytime soon. So with that being said, you're still looking at two guys who I think are both better than Kyrie Irving, in my opinion, and James Harden and Kevin Durant, and I think they play probably better together. So I think as long as those two guys are still healthy, they're going to probably be a top two, top three seed in the Eastern Conference. I think the biggest question mark with the Nets is their defense. I mean, it's the same thing as last year. They got some guys. I mean, Bruce Brown's going to start. He can defend on the perimeter, but I wouldn't feel too confident about LaMarcus Aldridge and Blake Griffin as my interior post defenders, especially against guys like Embiid and Giannis, who they're going to be going up against in the East. So offense isn't the question with Brooklyn. It's, are they going to be able to get it done on the defensive end, and are they going to be able to stay healthy?
Yeah, I think Kevin Durant's defensive prowess has been one thing over the last couple of years that has really, you know, it's really kind of vaulted him into another stratosphere in just terms of overall NBA history standpoint. But, you know, I think they're really going to rely on it once again, you know, as the Warriors did when he went there. And then obviously with the lack of front court depth for the Nets. But, you know, it's a little sneaky under the radar pickup. I really liked Patty Mills. He could definitely get the nod as well. I think he could start because he can kind of play the two along with James Harden. You know, I think they would like to kind of, you know, Brown also may start, so they do have some options there, but I really like the Patty pickup, and he, you know, he's looking to provide a big spark for that team this year. So now here we are talking now about the defending champions, and, you know, Giannis has definitely shut me up in terms of his performance. Last year I was all over Giannis all year. You know, I was really a big kind of Debbie Downer on what I thought Giannis was and what I thought his ceiling was. You know, I thought once he got to the playoffs, it really kind of shuts him down. But he had an unbelievable performance last year in the playoffs and absolutely dominated that finals, you know, game five, the steal, the oop, it, you know, it, his performance in game six, a big block in the end of a game. Like, he just all around performed at a historic level. There's just no other way to put it. And, you know, I think, you know, he's been tinkering with the three-point shot in the preseason, so if that happens, I'm very scared about the possibility for Giannis. But overall, they didn't make too many changes. They picked up Grayson Allen, Rodney Hood, two bench guys, two Duke guys to bolster their bench unit. But honestly, you expect, Connor, you expect more of the same there from the Bucks, or, you know, what are you kind of seeing with them?
I do. I've always kind of knocked on Giannis, like you said, not quite as much as you, but I just thought he would never really be able to get it done without improving his perimeter game. But the guy is just, he's unbelievable, and you got to give him his respect. I see no let up from Giannis. I don't see him as a guy who's going to get complacent since he won a championship. I see him as a guy who's getting even hungrier, and I think this Bucks team around him is pretty much perfectly built to go back. I think they have a serious, legitimate shot to go back-to-back. I think Drew Holiday was the pickup of the year last year, a two-way guard who probably top five two-way guard in the entire league. Chris Middleton just, yeah, he'll have an inconsistent game here or there, but more often than not, he's there getting buckets next to Giannis. And like you said, I think they're a deep team. Bobby Portis played awesome off the bench last year. George Hill's a veteran guy. Pat Connaughton is just that kind of glue guy who you love off the bench, athletic, defends, can knock down a shot. I think this Bucks team is a serious, serious threat, especially with everything up in the air with Philadelphia, with Brooklyn. I think the Bucks at plus 390 to win the East is mighty appetizing.
Yeah, it's very tempting, and, you know, I could definitely see another, you know, run MVP for Giannis as well. You know, they, like you said, they're ready to go. They almost, you know, brought back everybody and just made a few key additions, and, you know, it's, you know, they're gonna have a really, really good chance again to go back at it. So next on the list, finishing fourth last year in the Eastern Conference and securing home court advantage in the first round, the New York Knickerbockers. You know, just had a great year for the Knicks, where they went 41-31, won 57% of their games, and, you know, really shocked a lot of people. You know, Coach Tom Thibodeau really got a lot out of their roster, and, you know, they looked really, really good, headlined obviously by Julius Randle and his performance last year on his way to an All-NBA second team, which was tremendous by him. Couple big backcourt additions for the Knicks in Kemba Walker and Evan Fournier. I know Knicks fans probably weren't super excited with the Fournier pickup in terms of, you know, being a four-year, $70 million deal, but, you know, Kemba back in Madison Square Garden, not quite the player he was, but, you know, I still think he will perform well there. You know, expectations for the Knicks, you know, I think they're probably similar to last year. You know, you know, 10 games over 500, somewhere in that range, I think is fair, especially with the level of play they have. They didn't really lose anyone, you know, too crazy. And, you know, they brought in a couple guys off the, you know, to start in their backcourt. You know, the continued development of Emmanuel Quickly, as well as D. Rose, you know, backing up Kemba at the one. You know, they got... You know, they got a little bit of depth. So, you know, are you expecting another repeat performance out of the Knicks? Because it was kind of, you know, well, even the most optimistic Knicks fans were you know, excited for last year. I think even last year, you know, shocked a few people. So what do you kind of think, you know, about the Knicks this year at least?
Yeah, I don't really know what to think about the Knicks. I mean, like you said, the team on paper this year looks better than the team last year. So you would think that they should perform at least to the same level. But at the same time, you could go ahead and say the Knicks might have outplayed themselves last year. Regardless, I think they do have a playoff caliber team. I think the additions of Kemba and Evan Fournier are big to the backcourt. And then, like you said, I think they got a lot of depth. I'm interested to see how... Thibodeau uses his depth. I mean, we know he likes to play guys a lot. He likes to rely on his starters and his go-to guys, but they've got guys like Derrick Rose, Alec Burks. I'll be interested to see how Obi Toppin progresses in his second year. Nerlens Noel is a very capable front court player. Mitchell Robinson, who's projected to start at the five, can't seem to stay on the court. They still have Noel and Taj Gibson on the bench, so... They got a lot of guys. I mean, Kevin Knox from Kentucky, there's a lot of question marks with this Knicks team, and I think we'll get a clearer picture as the season starts to go on what their direction's going to be. I think the X factor here is RJ Barrett. High pick out of Duke. Can't really shoot the ball right now, but he does a lot of other things. His shot is improving, so I think he's going to be really the main reason that this team takes a step forward or takes a step back. I think I'll be very interested to see how he does this year. I do like him as a player, but yeah, we'll see. Big question, big year for RJ Barrett.
Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth. I don't want to say it's a make or break year for RJ, but you know, with the capital that was spent on him, he was, you know, the surefire number one pick before Zion and John Morant kind of had their breakouts. But you know, I did kind of want to push back a little bit with you because he went from 14 to 17.5 points per game last year, started and played all 72 for the Knicks last year. His field goal percentage went up from 40 to 44, so not great. His three-point percentage actually went up from 32 to 40 on four attempts per game, so that's something that you love to see. And his free throw percentage went from 61 to 75, and you know, I think if he can continue to make strides like that in his efficiency, I think that's going to be great because I don't think there's really... You know, he's a great rebounding guard, you know, at that two. He kind of plays the three as well. So, you know, he does well rebounding. He also is a good playmaker when he, you know, kind of gets in that pick and roll situation. So I'm really excited to see because, you know, I think there are some tangible changes you saw last year or some tangible improvements he made in his efficiency as well as just his bulk scoring numbers. He cut down his turnovers by a couple into this year, but... You know, obviously him playing every single game last year helped. And, you know, I'm excited to see what he kind of has going on. But, you know, that third year, you're really kind of expect, you know, if they can rely on him to be a secondary playmaker outside of Julius Randle, I think it's really going to help the team. You know, obviously Kemba and Fournier can get busy. But, you know, I think RJ's that guy they really want to ride outside of Julius Randle. So,
yeah,
I think those two guys are really important.
We're not used to improved shooting percentages year to year in Philadelphia here. So, not one other thing before we move on real quick. And this goes to their depth. And, I mean, I can't even see Tibbs really using this guy. But Quentin Grimes, he seems to me as an NBA-ready guy. I mean, he just played on a Houston team that went to the national championship. He can defend. He can shoot the ball. And he wasn't an underclassman. I believe he was a junior there. So he's a guy who, like, I think can play right now. But will Tibbs play him? I mean, you look at the backcourt, Kemba Walker, Derrick Rose, Alec Burks, Emmanuel Quickly. It doesn't seem like there's going to be much court time for Quentin Grimes. But I do like Quentin Grimes.
Yeah.
I think he's someone to keep an eye on.
It's a good name. Good name to watch there. All right, moving on next. The Atlanta Hawks, the Cardiac Kids, who made it all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals last year after being the fifth seed in the East. Pretty much bringing back everybody. Not a lot of huge changes from the Hawks this year. But, you know, when we're talking about the Atlanta Hawks, it pretty much, the sentence starts and ends with Trae Young, someone who just is, you know, he's having an unbelievable, you know, start to his career. You know, putting up great numbers, really distributing the ball well. And I think the offense as a whole is really, really tailored great to his skills. So, you know, obviously once they got to the playoffs, I feel like they overperformed a little bit. But, you know, what do you kind of see out of the Hawks going into this year?
Yeah, I think the Hawks are a scary team, man. I mean, Trae Young is he's a playmaker. That's the one word I can use to describe him. But I will be interested to see if the new way the refs will be officiating will affect his play a little bit. I mean, I respect Trae Young. Don't get me wrong. The guy's a great player, but he gets some cheap foul calls, like as do a lot of players. Yeah, but Trae is probably one of the main culprits. So yep. I'm interested to see how that's going to affect him this year. I'm sure he'll adjust and he'll be fine. Thing with the Hawks is they're just young and they got a lot of talent. I mean, Bogdanovich is a guy who kind of came back at the end of last season, was injured for most of the year, and he came back and he looked really good on the wing. I mean, he can defend a little bit, he can shoot, he can create for himself. DeAndre Hunter is a guy who I believe he was the number 4 overall pick a couple years ago, and he was hurt most of the year. He's going to be back. He had a great rookie year, under the radar guy. John Collins, Clint Capella, I mean, there's a lot of talent on this team. I think if everything clicks and they can get it done on the defensive end, I think this is a team who could compete for the 3-4 seed in the East if everything works out. So I hate to say it, I mean, but they're pretty deep. They've got a solid bench. They've got Lou Williams, Kevin Huerter, D-Lon Wright can get it done. Gallinari is a veteran who knows how to play. They're a pretty good team, so...
Yeah, and DeAndre Hunter, also someone who was dealing with an injury down the stretch last year, so he wasn't, you know, 100% during their run, so I'm really excited to see that. Also, Kevin Huerter signed, you know, a decent contract recently, 4-year extension worth a decent amount of money, so, you know, he's going to be around for a little while. I could see him, you know, potentially cracking the starting lineup, you know, if some guys aren't ready health-wise or, you know, play-wise, but, you know, I think you hit the nail on the head. They took a lot of really good upside guys. I don't know if you mentioned Cam Reddish at all, but, you know, I'm really excited to see his progression. He kind of came out and showed out in the playoffs a little bit last year, but, you know, you got guys just on the wing, you know, Huerter, Hunter, Bogdanovich, Reddish, Gallinari. You mentioned all those guys, along with, you know, the lob threat of Capella. You know, Trae Young just has a medley of options, you know, he can use on the offensive end, and obviously his scoring ability is up there with the best, so that's going to be really interesting to see there. Number 6 in the East last year was the Miami Heat, one team who had one of the busier off seasons this year, so I'm excited to get into this. You know, two of their bigger additions they made this offseason were Kyle Lowry and PJ Tucker. Obviously, Kyle Lowry was the big fish to fry there, and, you know, he's going to be, you know, the distributor for the team. You know, I'm really excited. This is a very, very interesting, you know, starting lineup they kind of have here. At least we have it projected, you know, as Lowry, Duncan Robinson, Jimmy Butler, PJ Tucker, and Bam Adebayo. So, you know, a lot of defensive versatility, a lot of playmaking, a lot of shooting. It's going to be really, really interesting to see. And obviously they have a decent amount of depth. You know, a couple guys off their bench, a couple guys we're, you know, not so sure of, but they do have, you know, a couple guys that can come off the bench. But, you know, that's kind of the risk you run when you get these big, big names in your starting lineup. So what do you, you know, what do you kind of think Kyle Lowry is going to bring to the team, and PJ Tucker for that matter, that, you know, they've kind of been lacking over the last, obviously they made the finals 2 years ago in the bubble, but, you know, that kind of seemed like a little bit playing over their head. So what do you kind of think of, you know, the Miami Heat this year?
Yeah, I think Lowry and Tucker are great additions for any team that are trying to compete. I mean, they're both winners. They're both dogs. They know what it takes to win, and they're going to do it. They're going to sacrifice for their team. They're not selfish players. And I've always liked the Heat in general. Those who know me know how big of an Eric Spoelstra fan I am. I think he's one of the top 5 coaches in the entire NBA. And his ability to get all of his players to buy in to what they need to do on both ends of the floor is unmatched. And I think Kyle Lowry's only going to strengthen that. Jimmy Butler, we know, is a leader. I think they're going to be a better playoff team than a regular season team. Lowry's getting up there in age. PJ Tucker, we know, is older. So I don't know how high they'll be in the regular season. I could be completely wrong. They could come out and light the league on fire. But I think come playoff time, if healthy, this Heat team is going to be someone you don't want to see in the playoffs. I think they're going to yeah, they have a possibility to get past the first round, even past the second round, if guys are facing injuries. So
yeah, you know, I think it's going to be really, really interesting to see. Obviously, Kyle Lowry won a championship in 2019, and P.J. Tucker took home a championship after he got traded to Milwaukee last year. So both guys who can, you know, provide a lot of good experience. And, you know, all these guys pretty much are finals now. Jimmy Butler, you know, Duncan Robinson, Tyler Hero, they all made it. Bam Adebayo all made it a couple years ago, so... You know, I think those guys are going to be hungry and ready to go. So that kind of wraps up all the teams that made the playoffs outright. Last year was the first year they implemented the play-in tournament, which let me get a quick thought from you real quick. How did you like the play-in tournament? Do you like it long-term, or do you think it's going to be something that's only here for a couple of years?
Yeah, I'm not sure, really. I think as a basketball fan, I always love to watch more playoff basketball. I love the more games, the better. And it keeps those two teams on the edge of the playoffs competing. I know the NBA likes that. They hate the tanking. Yeah, I personally don't have a big problem with it. I will have a problem with it if the Sixers are the 7th seed. But yeah, right now I think it's fine right now. I think it's the more basketball, the better. The more competitive the league is, the better.
Yeah, I think it's interesting too. I mean, you really saw a hot race in the... in the West last year, so you know, and the games were pretty fun. The East was a little tough last year, but you know, I think it was all made by the Warriors and Lakers games last year. I think that was pretty much a home run for the NBA. But outside of that, there were four teams that made the play-in in the East last year. Obviously, the Celtics, Wizards, Pacers, and Hornets. So let's start with the Celtics here. Obviously, they picked up Dennis Schroeder in the offseason. He'll probably start at the one, and they also picked up Josh Richardson. So he probably won't start unless Marcus Smart is still dealing with an injury, but I think he'll be healthy coming into the year. So you know, I think it's gonna be interesting. Obviously, the big news here is Brad Stevens no longer being the head coach. We talked about this when it happened after the year, and him moving into more of a front office role. Have they named a head coach yet? I mean, I'm not exactly sure. So we'll get our research team on that. But I'll kind of talk about the Celtics as a whole for a second. You know, I kind of think it'll be interesting. They brought back Al Horford. So I think that's going to be an interesting thing. Someone who's familiar with the team, familiar with the way they run their business. And obviously, I expect Jason Tatum to turn into a full-blown superstar this year. I'm all in on the Jason Tatum hype train this year. You know, he knows he's the big dog now. He knows he's the alpha. And, you know, I think he's really going to take a step in the right direction this year. I like their depth. You know, I think it's really just going to come down to Jaylen Brown and how big of a next step he really takes. Cause you know, he's kind of shut me up a little bit with his performance and what he's done. But you know, I think the team is really going to go. I mean, I think Tatum either way is going to have a great year. I think the team aspect is really only going to go as far as Jaylen Brown's next step, really how big it is. So, We got the coach here. Who we got here?
Ime Udoka. Sorry, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Okay. But I do like him. I think he's got a lot of... he's going to bring a new, fresh start to the Celtics team, which is what I think they need. I mean, they changed a lot with this roster. They got Dennis Schroeder. They got Josh Richardson. Mm-hmm. Robert Williams, the Time Lord, they're hoping is going to step forward and start if he can stay healthy. I personally think the Celtics team is going to be pretty good. I think they're deep. I think they have five guys on the bench who can all contribute and play. Josh Richardson, Grant Williams, Al Horford will be poetic when he goes back and does what he does for Boston. Peyton Pritchard, I like last year from Oregon off the bench. Another backcourt guy, Aaron Nesmith from Vanderbilt, came on strong at the end of the year after not really playing much in the beginning of the year. I just think Boston's going to be annoying. I think Jason Tatum is a superstar in the making. I think he's going to take even another step forward this year. And I think Jaylen Brown is a stud as well. I think that's going to be one of the highest scoring duos in the entire NBA this year. I think they're going to be tough to guard. And yeah, I see the Celtics as a tough team to play against in the East.
Yeah, I agree. One little under-the-radar name who kind of looked good in his preseason action, Romeo Langford. That was a first-round pick last year. So I don't know how much he'll really play because of the depth that they have, at least in the backcourt. But I am really interested to see how they kind of use him because he is a player with a lot of talent. So he'll be interesting to follow. Next team we're going to hit on here is the Washington Wizards, another team who had a very, very active offseason, obviously trading their superstar point guard Russell Westbrook, which we'll get to when we talk about the team that he was traded to. But the Wizards, you know, they got a haul back for Russell Westbrook, and also picked up Spencer Dinwiddie as well, who should be starting at the one for them. You know, obviously we expect another tremendous year from Bradley Beal, and he will be an interesting name to monitor on the trade market. You know, but obviously they moved Russell Westbrook, kind of doing a little bit more of a rebuilding thing, but did get back a lot of NBA pieces in that deal. Obviously, you know, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Kyle Kuzma were two of the names off the top of my head. You know, Montrezl Harrell as well. So what do you kind of, you know, expect from the Wizards? Like, do we think those moves keep them relevant in the play-in talk? Or, you know, what are we kind of seeing with those moves?
Personally, I do. I think they have some talent, and I don't think the East is particularly strong once you get to the back half. It's going to be up in the air. There's a lot of teams that are going to be competing for it, but I think the Wizards could be one of them. I like Spencer Dinwiddie. We saw what he can do when he's healthy. He can be a starting guard in this league. Bradley Beal, you know what you're getting from him. He's 30 a night. And then there's guys like Kyle Kuzma, who he's kind of probably going to get a bigger role here, and I'll be interested to see how he does with that. I've never been a huge Kyle Kuzma fan, but I'll see. I'll see how he does this year. Hachimura, I like. He's been battling injuries through his first 2 years, but when he's on the court, he's pretty solid as well. I think they have some depth. Aaron Holiday's not awful. Montrezl Harrell can play. I think the Wizards are just a mediocre, middle-of-the-road team. As a selfish Sixers fan, I'm going to be rooting that they get off to a slow start and Bradley Beal requests out of town so that you-know-who can get shipped to Washington. But in my opinion, I don't really see it happening. I think Washington's going to hover around 500 and kind of just keep their foot in the race until the end of the season if everything goes right.
Yeah, and I'm also interested to see Denny Avdija. Obviously a really, really wild card out of the draft last year, so he'll be an interesting step forward guy. If he, you know, he performs as well, that could also help a lot of their depth in Washington. That's going to move us to the Indiana Pacers, another very interesting team, bringing back a lot of guys as well. So I think the Pacers is also going to be a team that, you know, still hangs around that 500 mark, still hangs around that play-in tournament. Obviously, there was a huge four-team deal last year with, you know, involving James Harden going to the Nets. That also netted the Pacers getting Caris LeVert, who I can't say enough good things about Caris LeVert. I'm a huge fan of his, and he could also be someone that's on the move again this year. But, you know, I think they're really talented. I think they're really, you know, they have a good bench. They have a good, you know, system, culture. You know, I think they're just, I don't know. I feel like they're just like one or two pieces away from like a star piece. I feel like they have great supporting cast in, you know, Domantas Sabonis and Malcolm Brogdon. I think they're two very good players. You know, I hold Sabonis in high regard, and I, you know, I've been a Malcolm Brogdon fan at least once he got to the Pacers for multiple years now. But I just feel like they just don't have the punch to really get them over the hump. Is that how you kind of see the Pacers?
I agree. I think they do have a lot of good pieces there, but they are missing that one superstar to kind of get them over the hump. Sabonis is great. He took a big step forward last year. I think he averaged more than 5 assists per game last year, which is tops for all big men. Him and Jokic pretty much led the league in assists for centers, I believe. Miles Turner's a stretch five who can defend at the rim. And then, like you said, Brogdon is a guy who can run the show in the backcourt. TJ McConnell off the bench, pesky, you know what you're getting from him. Yeah, I think the Pacers are a similar team to the Wizards. I think they're better than the Wizards if they stay healthy, but I don't see them going past the 5 seed. I think that's their absolute ceiling. I couldn't see them going any higher than that without getting something different, maybe getting a guy from Philly. I don't know.
But I think it's going to be really interesting to see. I think, you know, they could maybe, you know, they're an injury away from probably falling out of that kind of picture. And, you know, kind of see, we'll see what happens there. But, you know, definitely a lot of question marks. But, you know, we kind of like the foundation that they have right now. That's going to move us to the last team that made the play-in last year, the Charlotte Hornets, the fun bunch, the young bunch, you know, whatever you want to call them. They really showed out last year. And a lot of that was on the shoulders of LaMelo Ball. You know, I think this was pretty much what his most, you know, favorable, I don't even know the word I'm looking for, but it's just his most favorable supporters were hoping for. Just a player who absolutely changed the game. Vision is unbelievable. Passing ability, unbelievable. And when you got, you know, high flyers like, you know, PJ Washington, especially Miles Bridges, and, you know, when Gordon Hayward and Terry Rozier, you know, they just have scores on the wing. You know, I like what they're building here. I still don't think they have, like, enough punch and really enough, like, great talent, but I think they hit a home run with that LaMelo Ball pick, and I think they're going to be right around the play-in tournament again, and a lot of that's going to be on the shoulders of LaMelo, and I'm interested to see, you know, what he does. You know, what's kind of your expectations for LaMelo going into year two, and, you know, how far do you think he can kind of take the Hornets?
Yeah, I like this Hornets team. I agree that they still are a couple pieces away, but I think LaMelo Ball has the potential to be that superstar that they need. He does it all. He can shoot it. He can score it. He rebounds. He defends when he wants to. He's got the length and the ability to defend, and he's a guy you can build your team around. Like you said, I like Miles Bridges. Rozier's a guy. He's just a microwave on the wing. He's going to get hot, or he's going to miss his next five threes, but some days you'll take it, and it'll help you win games. I like their bench pieces this year. PJ Washington projected to come off the bench. Love him off the bench. Him and Mason Plumlee, I think that those are two good front court gets for them. Well, Washington's been there. Plumlee, I think, is a good front court get. He can distribute. He can play on the outside a little bit. Another guy I'm looking at is rookie James Bouknight from UConn. I love this guy. Love him. Can't believe he dropped as far as he did in the draft. I think he should have been close to a top five pick, but I expect him to play off the bench. I mean, they got Ish Smith, they got Kelly Oubre, who are two nice additions to the team. I mean, but we know what they do. I think Bouknight has the potential to be as good as both of them. Obviously, he's only a rookie, but I'm interested to see how they bring him along. And I think as the season goes on, if he's playing well, he could be a really important part to this team as well. So yeah, I do think they make the play-in, as long as everyone stays healthy, mainly LaMelo. But I do like the direction this team's headed in.
Yeah, definitely. I thought, you know, also they did sign Kelly Oubre Jr. this year, who I think is going to fit in better with them than he did with the Warriors last year. Obviously, their run-and-gun style is a lot more conducive to Kelly Oubre's style of play. Are kind of the last Eastern Conference team I wanted to go into a little bit of depth with. We'll kind of, you know, go quick through the bottom four. But the last one I wanted to talk about was the Chicago Bulls, another team who were very active in free agency. You know, a couple big pickups, Lonzo Ball and DeMar DeRozan were two big pickups they made to join Zach LaVine and Nikola Vucevic, who they traded for last year, Vucevic specifically. So an interesting, like, kind of big four they have there. Obviously, DeMar DeRozan, probably on the back nine of his career now. You know, Lonzo Ball is someone who's coming to his own as well as a passer. Zach LaVine had a breakout year last year. And Nikola Vucevic is a consistently slept-on player in this league. The one area of concern I have is their depth, which I'm not, you know, super excited about. But, you know, do you think their starting lineup can take them, you know, back to the playoffs where they, you know, where they haven't been the last couple of years?
I do. I think this team, if they all stay healthy, they are a no-doubt playoff team, in my opinion. Lonzo is a great under-the-radar pickup. The guy's improved every single year. His shot off the catches has looked great last year, and it looks good this preseason as well. DeRozan, you know what you're getting from him. He knows how to win. He knows how to lead a team, and a guy I really like is Patrick Williams. I mean, people were high on him coming into last year.
Love Patrick Williams.
Yeah, he didn't quite light the world on fire last year, but you saw glimpses in certain games. You know, you can see why this team likes him so much, and I like him a lot. I mean, he can defend 1-4, if not 1-5. He can take it outside. He's got a little inside-outside game. I like Patrick Williams a lot. I agree that their depth is not ideal. Coby White is microwave guy, kind of similar to Terry Rozier. He's going to score. He can play make a little bit. They got Caruso from the Lakers, who he's looked good in limited preseason action. So I'll be interested to see how he is in a more active role than he's really played in years past. My question, other than the depth, is the outside shooting. I like Lonzo. Like I said, he can do it off the catch, but he's not a guy who's going to get a lot of volume, a lot of shots up. He's just going to shoot it when he needs to, when he's open. We know LaVine can do it off the bounce. DeMar is an improved three-point shooter, but we know that's not what he wants to do. And then I'm looking at the bench, and I don't feel confident with Kobe and Alex Caruso as my best backcourt. They can shoot it a little bit, but they're not great shooters. I mean, that's going to be my thing, is are they going to be able to score on the perimeter? So
yeah, I think, you know, Vucevic being a shooter is going to be really important for them, because Patrick Williams and DeMar DeRozan feast in the mid-range. And, you know, obviously LaVine and Lonzo have improved there too. So I think it's going to be an interesting dynamic. I think they're going to be moving all around the court, but I think Vucevic's shooting ability is going to be big for them, because, you know, if he was more of just a paint guy, you know, you kind of see how that works with some other teams and the spacing of the floor. But, you know, I just think he's so skilled and he's just so slept
he's
on.
He's so underrated.
Yeah, he's going to be huge. He's going to cover up a lot of holes for them. Yeah. All right, so we're just going to, I just want to blitz through these last four teams. We don't have to go too in-depth on them, but we'll start with the Raptors. You know, not too crazy. They did pick up Scottie Barnes this year in the draft, fourth overall. You know, obviously they have, you know, return of their guys, Van Vliet, Siakam, Anunoby, Gary Trent Jr., you know, Malachi Flynn. You know, are we expecting big things out of the Raptors, or, you know, what are we, you know, what are we kind of thinking out of them this year?
I've always kind of liked the Raptors. I was higher on them last year. I thought they were going to be solid. Obviously, they got a little bit by the injury bug last year, but I'm kind of torn on them. I like guys like Fred VanVleet. I like OG Anunoby, great two-way guy. I think Dragic's a good pickup. He's great whenever he's on the court. But I think missing Siakam to start the year is going to hurt them a little bit. I do like the draft pick of Scottie Barnes a lot. He can pretty much do it all. Gary Trent Jr. can score off the bench, but I don't see anything crazy from this team. I think their best case scenario is probably a play-in spot.
Yep. Yeah, not too much to add there. Next, we'll talk about the Cleveland Cavaliers. You know, still a lot of young talent there, a lot of young talent. They picked up Evan Mobley in the draft, who I was very high on in the draft process. You know, they got a lot of front court guys. They made the trade to get Lauri Markkanen, so that's another big move for them. I like that for them as well. You know, they hope for considered more development from Garland and Sexton and Okoro. You know, their main three guys on the perimeter. So, you know, I don't know what we're kind of thinking with the Cavaliers here. Obviously, I like the Mobley pick, and you know, I guess the main question I'll ask here is: do you expect Kevin Love to be on the team by the end of the year, or do you think he is potentially someone that could be on the move?
I think he's most likely going to be on the move. I think a contender who needs a floor spacing big is probably going to make an offer for him at some point, and I think he'll be moved. I'm interested by this Cavs team. I think they have a good amount of young talent, but I just got to see it. I got to see how they look all together and playing. And yeah, I don't know. They intrigue me. I think Isaac Okoro has the potential to be a late bloomer. I mean, we know how good of a defender he is. If he can figure it out on the offensive end, he could be a good two-way guy. Garland and Sexton's a solid backcourt. And then, like you said, Evan Mobley, Jared Allen, Lauri Markkanen, like, they got some young guys here. So I'll be interested to see how the Cavs perform this year.
Yeah, and, you know, Ricky Rubio as a backup to Garland and Sexton is going to be, you know, good for you know, kind of teaching them some things on the road. And then two teams that finished towards the bottom who both picked point guards in the draft, the Magic and the Pistons. Obviously, the Magic took Jalen Suggs, and the Pistons took number one overall, Cade Cunningham. So really excited to see Cunningham and what he does with the Pistons. Obviously, they don't have a ton of talent there, but the backcourt of him and Killian Hayes, I'm really excited to see what they do. And obviously, the Magic should be welcoming back Markelle Fultz at some point during this year. You know, obviously, he's there as well. I'm interested to see Isaac and Bamba with the Magic as well, two, you know, high upside guys. So out of these two teams, you know, who do you think has the, you know, is kind of set up better, and, you know, who do you expect more from out of the 2021 season?
I don't think either of these two teams are making the playoffs, honestly. I think both their rookies are going to be their engines. Not away to start, but I think they're going to be building around Cade and Jalen Suggs, respectively. Pistons have guys like Jeremy Grant, who everyone knows how big of a Jeremy Grant fan I am. Hopefully he can, he'll have Cade shoulder a little bit of the load this year. Things will get a little easier for him. And then two guys I want to look, one on each team, Isaiah Stewart, big man for the Pistons. I'm all in on him this year. He played great whenever he saw the court last year. Mason Plumlee's gone. I think he's in for a solid year. And then the other one I'm interested to see, you mentioned, is Mo Bamba for the Magic. We saw what he can do in the preseason. Seems like they've kind of just been sitting on him for the past couple years. I know he's battled some injuries, but he's never really gotten consistent playing time. It looks like him and Wendell Carter are going to run the five this year. I think Bamba, he's got all the physical tools, so if they get him some run, get him some experience, maybe he could work out for them.
Yeah, they're going to be interesting to see. Obviously, they just signed Wendell Carter to a big deal. So, you know, they got a lot of interesting front court pieces, and then once Markelle Fultz comes back, they have him and Cole Anthony, Jalen Suggs. So I would probably take their future over the Pistons as of right now. But that's going to kind of wrap up our East preview there. So we're going to jump over to the West and not waste any time and start with the number one seed from last year, the Utah Jazz. They ended up taking... how'd they finish the playoffs? They beat the Clippers in their series. Obviously, they look the Clippers lost Kawhi Leonard during that series. And then Utah went up against Phoenix and lost in the Western Conference Finals there. I believe Phoenix swept the Jazz. Is that what happened? Let me get a quick fact.
I don't think it was a sweep.
Let me get a quick fact check on that. But I'll kind of talk about the Jazz for a few minutes while Connor's looking that up. You know, bringing everyone back pretty much. The addition of Eric Paschal and Hassan Whiteside going to be their backup front court. So that's going to be really interesting to see how that kind of breaks down. But bringing everyone back, really, I'm expecting a huge year out of Donovan Mitchell. Really excited to see what he's got going on this year. And it's just interesting to see there. You know, the Clippers kind of exploited Rudy Gobert a little bit last year in the playoffs, you know, kind of bringing him out to the perimeter and attacking him. So I'm going to kind of interested to see how that breaks down. But, you know, the Jazz as a whole are a great defensive team, and Donovan Mitchell is a budding superstar. So I think him along with Mike Conley and then, you know, their wing depth, especially with Jordan Clarkson coming off the bench, I think they're, you know, really poised to make another run for the another run at the you know, top seed in the West. Okay, so I got the season last year. So
Clippers
they,
won.
So the Clippers did end up winning in six.
Yep.
Okay. I think I do remember that. You know, now I was blanking on it for a sec. I think I do remember that. And then the Clippers ended up getting swept by the Suns in the Western Conference Finals. I just remember they had a lot of time before the against the Bucks before they played them. So all right. So yeah, really, you know, that was crazy to see them from the Jazz. And you know, interested to see what they see. So, you know, you have a quick thought or two on the Jazz going into next year?
Yeah, most listeners to this pod know how I feel about Rudy Gobert. He's just never going to be a second option on a team. He's a great defender. I'm never taking that away from him. But his offensive game is just never going to be good enough to be a number two option on a championship team. Donovan Mitchell is an outstanding player who seems to improve every year. I think... he looks really good, really, really good, but they need something else around him, honestly. Mm-hmm. Mike Conley's great when he's on the court, but he's been battling some injuries. Yeah, I mean, Joe Ingles is a guy I love off the bench, glue guy who does a little bit of everything. Jordan Clarkson had an awesome year last year off the bench, lighting it up on the in the box score, but I don't really see them making it to the finals. I mean, I could be mistaken, but... I mean, I think they'll make the playoffs, obviously, but I don't see them getting all the way to the finals or even the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, I think they're a good, really good regular season team just with what they provide night to night. But when you start to get into seven-game series, I mean, we saw it with the Clippers. They lost Kawhi Leonard, and they still, you know, what's the guy's name, Mann?
Terrence Mann.
Terrence Mann absolutely fried Rudy Gobert. And obviously, it's not, you know, a one-to-one matchup, but, you know, in the playoffs, that's what they hunt. They'll hunt Rudy Gobert to a perimeter guy, and... you know, there's a lot better players in the league than Terrence Mann, not taking anything away from him, but just saying, you know, that's definitely going to be a weakness for the Jazz once it comes playoff time. But we do expect them to be pretty good in the regular season. That brings us to the Western Conference champions from last year, the Phoenix Suns, who went up 2-0 on the Bucks in the finals and ended up dropping the next four. Obviously, they're bringing back most of their team. They picked up Landry Shamet and just signed him to a four-year contract extension, and I love that pickup for the Suns. But I think one of the bigger... I mean, you know what you're going to get from Chris Paul, Devin Booker. It's going to be interesting to see after this year what happens with DeAndre Ayton, because they weren't able to agree to a contract extension, so that's going to be a big storyline to watch. But I think the biggest thing that's going to take them over the hump this year is going to be the development of Mikal Bridges. They signed him to a big contract extension this year. I'm pretty sure they gave him $90 million over 4 years. So they're expecting him to be a big part of the team this year. So I think they're going to, you know, if he takes that next step and really becomes a really, really good wing player, you know, almost like a prime Trevor Ariza, I feel like that's a decent comp. But, you know, it's hairy a little bit there. But, you know, I think he's a big, big player for them. And you know, I'm excited to watch the Suns team next year.
Yeah, I think they got a taste of what it takes to be a championship team last year, and they're not going to let that slip away. I think they're going to be a really good team again this year. Chris Paul, one of the best leaders in the NBA. Devin Booker, a certified bucket. And then they've got wings that can defend and knock down shots. And Jay Crowder, Mikal Bridges, Cameron Johnson. They got all the pieces necessary for a championship team. They got a deep backcourt, Cameron Payne, Elfrid Payton, Landry Shamet, new addition, like you said. I like this Suns team. I like them a lot. The other day, I was talking with someone, and we were just, can't believe that the Sixers traded Mikal Bridges for Zaire Smith. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Yep.
And then someone said, well, we probably wouldn't have Thybulle after. And I said, Mikal Bridges is what we want Matisse Thybulle to be. That's his ceiling. Am I wrong in saying that? Matisse Thybulle is, I mean, he's great on defense. So is Mikal Bridges. And Mikal Bridges shoots nearly 40%, if not 40% from three. So, I mean, that's what we want Matisse Thybulle to be. I think that was a...
Yeah, I mean, I think Mikal is definitely more gifted offensively and provides... I mean, I don't think Mikal is quite the defender Matisse is either, but...
He's close.
I think they're different. Yeah. I agree that they're the same kind of archetype, although I do think they're a little bit different players. But,
if Matisse could be Mikal Bridges,
oh my God,
he'd be happy as hell.
Yeah, that'd be a great development for Matisse's career because he'd be making $90 million like Mikal just showed he can do and perform on the biggest stages, so... You know, we're excited about the Suns. They got a lot of pieces. Obviously, a championship contender out west. That's going to bring us to the three seed from last year, the Denver Nuggets. Obviously, Jamal Murray tore his ACL late in the year last year, so he'll be back later in the season. But, you know, it's going to be, you know, tight to see whether he's up to speed and ready to go by playoff time. But, you know, they still have a lot. Obviously, I think that Monte Morris is probably going to fill in and start at the one for them this year. And they got some scores, but I think the big storyline here is Michael Porter Jr., right?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he's a guy who started to light it up last year towards the end of the year, and now they're going to need him to take another step forward with the absence of Jamal Murray. I think he's capable of it. 6'9", 6'10", can score at all three levels. He's a very tough guard. He's a KD type player in the way he plays and the way he's pretty tough to defend. Jokic, reigning MVP, you know what you're getting from him. He's going to play 38, 40 minutes a night and do it all for you. People I've heard and talked to might be a little bit down on the Nuggets without Murray. I personally am not. I mean, I know their defense might be a question mark. That's kind of what their question mark was last year, but I think their depth is going to be able to cover up the loss of Murray. As good as Murray is, they've got Monty Morris, who I'm confident in. Campazzo, I love off the bench. I have a soft spot in my heart for him. Then they got guys like Austin Rivers, PJ Dozier. They drafted Nashawn Bones Highland from VCU, who had an awesome preseason. I don't know. Jamichael Green, Jeff Green. I'm not too worried about the Nuggets. I mean, they might drop a couple spots. They might drop from 3 to 5 maybe or something, but I don't see too much variance with the Nuggets this year.
Yeah, and I think they have the flexibility to either go big or small. Obviously, they re-signed Aaron Gordon to a big deal this offseason too, who they traded for last year. So I'm really interested to see how they play. Obviously, it runs through Jokic, who's the engine there, but... you know, I think their ceiling may be a little bit capped without Jamal Murray because of just the talent that he is. But, you know, I think we both like the Nuggets, and I think they're going to be right in the thick of it come the end of the regular season. That's going to bring us to the fourth place team from last year who upset the Utah Jazz last year in the second round, made it to the Western Conference Finals for the first time in franchise history, the LA Clippers. Now, you can't really talk about the Clippers this year without talking about Kawhi Leonard, probably missing the rest of the season, you know, had a tear of his ACL in the playoffs last year. So more than likely, he will not be available. You know, maybe if they make a deep run to the finals or something, he might show up. But I think we can safely assume that he will not be there this year. So it's going to fall all on Paul George's shoulders. Obviously, they made a couple backcourt pickups, a couple wing pickups. But, you know, do you think Paul George can take this team, you know, back where they were last year? Or you think they have a little bit of a fall off?
I don't. I mean, in terms of back to the Western Conference Finals, I do not. I think Paul George will have a good year. I mean, he's a great player. He can get the job done. He can do pretty much everything. But the guys around him just—I don't think they're it. I mean, Zubac's a solid center, but he's not spacing the floor. And in today's modern game, once you get to the playoffs, Zubac could get played off the floor. Marcus Morris is solid, obviously, but he's not a number two or three option for your team. And then, like you said, they picked up Eric Bledsoe. Reggie Jackson had an awesome playoffs for them last year. He was great, but can we bank on Eric Bledsoe and Reggie Jackson? I mean, they're veteran guys with experience and leadership, but are they good enough to compete against these other guards in the West? I don't know. So I'm a little out on the Clippers this year. I think they could still make the playoffs, but I think it's a possibility they could be in the play-in, honestly.
Yeah, I think they're probably going to hover around that 5-6 next year. I think they're going to drop out of the top four. And I think they'll be right around where the Lakers were last year, potentially, you know, like in that 6-7. So, you know, fighting to stay out of the play-in, but I think still comfortably in the playoff picture. Just I think Paul George is, you know, a superstar. And, I think he got his confidence back last year in the playoffs. And I think they have enough scoring to get through the regular season. But if they lose Paul George to any kind of injury, they're out of it. You know, I think once that happens, they're done.
Terrence Mann.
Yeah, so Terrence Mann, I was really disappointed with Luke Kennard last year. I thought he was going to have more of a role, and he really didn't. You know, I think Justice Winslow, they picked him up, another guy who, you know, has been fighting with injuries, but someone who's been proved to be really versatile there. So, you know, it's interesting, but I think, you know, like we kind of mentioned, it runs through Paul George, and, you know, if he has a great year, they'll be good, but, you know, if he struggles at all, they'll have a tough time competing. That's going to bring us to the Dallas Mavericks, everyone's favorite team with everybody's favorite player, Luka Doncic. Obviously, one of the front runners for MVP. I think I was just looking at the odds earlier. He's the betting favorite to win MVP this year. But I'm not really sold on the Mavericks. I think it's the same team as last year. I think they have kind of a ceiling with the roster they have. I'm not the biggest Porzingis fan. Now, they do have a new coach in Jason Kidd, so I'll be interested to see how he kind of, you know, manipulates Porzingis' role and, you know, changes how Luka plays or whatever. But, you know, I think they're the same team they were last year. I could see them being the 5-6 seed again, winning a playoff series. But unless Luka absolutely goes supernova, which is entirely possible, I don't know. Am I being too, you know, bearish on them? Or, you know, what do you think?
No, I think, I mean, looking at the roster on paper, I think I agree. It doesn't stand out or pop, but that one guy.
Yeah.
One guy, man. He's that good. He really is that good. I mean, if anyone was watching the Olympics this summer, you saw him. He's a freak. He can win games on his own. He's that type of player. So I don't know how high of a seed they'll be like you. I think 5-6 is a conservative assumption. I think they could go 4 anywhere in that middle section of the playoffs, but come a 7-game playoff series, you better hope that man Luka Doncic doesn't get hot, because he can win a series on his own. So that's the way I'm looking at the Mavs. They're a team who I don't want to play if I'm an opposing team in the playoffs. But you're right, I don't think they're going to be fighting for a top seed in the West, no.
Yeah, I mean, I think they have a good roster to fit around Luka. Obviously, Tim Hardaway Jr. is a microwave scorer. You know, they have lob threats, they have, you know, some wing defenders that can make up for that. They have playmakers off the bench.
Jalen Brunson,
Trey Burke, those kind of guys. I just, you know, and we'll get into this with the next team, Portland Trailblazers. I just feel like they're kind of running back the same team, and I'll reserve my opinion to after the season. But like I said, I don't know. I still think they're going to be a top, comfortably in the playoffs, but, you know, I think it'll be interesting to see, you know, how far Luka can really take them. And that will bring us to the Portland Trailblazers, who took home the 6th seed last year, mainly on the back of their superstar point guard, Damian Lillard. I don't have enough good things to say about Damian Lillard after his performance last year against the Nuggets in the playoffs. I mean, single-handedly carrying this franchise. I mean, between him and Steph Curry, I don't think there was two players, maybe Luka too, that carried their teams quite like those two teams did. Obviously, CJ McCollum's an outstanding player. You know, we like a lot of the players on their team. I'll let you get into it in a few, but I just don't know about this Portland team. I feel like just like Dallas, they're running back the same team. They still have the same deficiencies. Obviously, new head coach in Chauncey Billups. There's been the Dame Lillard trade rumors. You know, what do you think about the Blazers? Do you think it's more of the same, or do you think, you know, the change of head coach, you know, philosophy maybe gets them a little further?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's a little bit more of the same. I mean, like you said, Damian Lillard's awesome. CJ McCollum's great. Nurkic, when he's on the court, gets the job done. He's a double-double just about every night when he's healthy. And then you know how much I love Robert Covington. But after that, I don't love it. I mean, their bench isn't great. Anthony Simons he's got potential, but I don't think he's a great role player in the league right now. Larry Nance Jr. is a new addition to the team. It's just not doing it for me. This is the same situation where with Washington, I think Portland's a better team than Washington,
right.
But I'd like them to get off to a slow start like Washington. Dame Lillard, who's an amazing person and super loyal, so I don't see this really happening, but maybe they get off to a slow start and he says, all right, I'm ready to go win, and you know who gets shipped to Portland.
Number 25.
You know who, with a couple first-rounders. I don't even care. I'll give him a first-rounder with Ben.
Number 25.
With what else? Yeah. But, yeah, ideally, as a Sixers fan, Portland gets off to a slower start and maybe something can happen there. But if not, yeah, I mean, I see a similar team. I see maybe fighting for the sixth seed, fighting for a play-in spot. I mean, as long as Dame's there, they're going to be competing.
As long as Dame's there and CJ's there, they're going to win regular season games. Yep. And yeah, obviously, we like Nurkic, Roko, and Norman Powell's a good wing player as well. But not doing it too much for us. But that's going to move us to the teams that made the play-in tournament last year. And there was no team busier than the Los Angeles Lakers last year. So I'm just going to kind of go through some of the pickups they made. And I'm probably going to miss some, but the addition of Russell Westbrook, who's going to be starting at the one this year. Wayne Ellington, more than likely, is going to start at the two. Obviously, you have LeBron and the Brow at the 3-4. Then you got, you know, big men, DeAndre Jordan and Dwight Howard. Dwight got brought back. You know, the additions of Rondo back on the team. Malik Monk addition to the team. Kent Bazemore, Carmelo Anthony on the team. I think I'm missing a couple guys, but I'm pretty much just named 7 or 8 of their top 10 rotation that, you know, who did I miss?
Kendrick Nunn and Trevor Ariza, two more good
exactly,
pickups.
Exactly, two great guys. And, you know, I think the Lakers saw this last year when some of their superstars, LeBron James and Anthony Davis, went down with some injuries. You know, they lacked depth and scoring, playmaking, and I think they hit all of those nail on the head there. You know, if LeBron or Anthony Davis misses any time, Russell Westbrook has proven he can carry a team in the regular season. You know, when LeBron goes to the bench, Carmelo can come in and he's proven he can be a microwave off the bench. Obviously, one of the best scorers of all time. Obviously, we expect the Lakers to be a lot better here. And even injury aside, I mean, even injury included, I think that there's no way this team finishes outside the top 4 seeds. You know, probably 4 or 5, but I could easily see them hopping the Mavericks, Blazers, and Clippers, and potentially even the Nuggets too in the West. So, you know, let me hear your thoughts on the Lakers. I don't feel like there's too much to say about the Lakers, but what do you got?
There's not. Yeah, they're very deep. They've got three guys who are superstars.
First ballot Hall of Famers.
Exactly. And
Anthony Davis will save
it. I mean, last year I was adamant that LeBron, I mean, you know, all LeBron fans say LeBron never has any help. Well, I don't think he had much help last year.
The roster was not good.
I'm looking at his bench and, like, I know KCP had a good year. Alex Caruso's solid. Yeah. Wesley Matthews.
If those are your first couple games, like, it's like,
that's not what you want. Now you're looking at Kendrick Nunn, Melo, Dwight Howard. These are guys who,
Malik Monk, yeah, like,
guys who are getting the job done. Rondo, playoff Rondo. Like, their bench is just way, way better than it was last year. And health permitting, this is a team who's going to make a run at another finals. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they brought in guys who have finals experience in Trevor Ariza and Rondo. But then they also brought in guys like you said, Kendrick Nunn and Malik Monk, who can get hot on any given January, February night and win a game for them. So
yep.
I think they hit a lot of key pieces there in the offseason. The next team we're going to talk about here, the Golden State Warriors, who I'm very excited to watch this year. A lot of you guys know I'm a big, big Steph Curry guy, big Warriors fan. So I'm really excited to see, you know, what they kind of got going on this year. Obviously, Klay Thompson is going to be the X factor for the team this year. Should be around back around Christmas time. So him pairing back with Steph Curry along with Draymond Green, you know, I'm really excited to see. You know, I think the big storyline for the Warriors. You know, they made a couple pickups, obviously bringing Andre Iguodala back, you know, Otto Porter, Bjelica, Nemanja Bjelica, a couple pickups that they made I think are going to be good for their depth. But I think the big thing for the Warriors is going to be the play of Jordan Poole. You know, tied with Michael Porter Jr. right now for the favorite to be most improved player in the NBA this year. Obviously, with Klay missing time early, I think he's going to start for the team. And you know, just the confidence he showed in the preseason and from all you're hearing from Warriors coaches, players, is he's just oozing with confidence. And it's funny, me and Connor were actually watching the draft that year when the Warriors took Jordan Poole, and I was a little down on the pick. I wasn't really loving it. And to your credit, Connor, I got to give you credit. You know, you were like, no, Jordan Poole's going to be good. You know, he's, you know, it's a good pick. He's going to be good. And after the first year, I didn't see it, but he has really taken off this, or at least it taken off in the preseason this year. And you know, obviously Vegas, you know, they're not in the business of losing money. So having him as a favorite to win most improved is, you know, big, says a lot about Jordan Poole. So like I said, I think that's going to be the X factor for the Warriors. If he can play well enough to get to the point where Klay Thompson comes back, you know, I think this Warriors team, you know, has a good chance to bounce back into, you know, serious playoff consideration. So what do you kind of see when you're looking at the Warriors this year? A lot of question marks, but what are you seeing?
Yeah, I mean, if Steph Curry's healthy, they're going to be relevant, just like we've said about a number of teams. He's that good. Like you said, Jordan Poole, they're going to be looking to see if he can take a big step forward. I think this is the best situation Wiggins has been in his career. I think he excelled in this environment last year, and I expect him to do the same this year. Draymond Green does it all. You need a guy like him on your team. And then Kevon Looney was hurt for some of last year, I believe. James Wiseman, looks like he may be hurt to start the year, but I like James Wiseman. Some people were kind of ragging on them about that pick. Obviously, LaMelo Ball went after them. Hindsight's 20/20, but I'm not out on James Wiseman. I saw some things that I think looked good last year from him. He can space the floor a little bit. He can finish at the rim. I think he could be a solid piece if he continues to develop.
Mm-hmm.
And I like their two draft picks, Moses Moody and Jonathan Kuminga. I'm not sure how much either of them will contribute, but I like both of them. I think they're solid pieces that down the road could turn into something for them. So I do see the Warriors making the playoffs. Obviously, like you said, Klay's going to be back at some point this year, so I'll be interested to see how he looks. We know the shot didn't go anywhere, but mobility we'll have to see a little bit on defense.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I think if everything goes well for the Warriors and everyone stays healthy, they're going to be a playoff team, probably out of the play-in, probably a safe top six seed in the West.
Yeah, I think if they don't get anything out of, you know, Wiseman or Moody or Kuminga, you know, they'll be, if they can get anything out of Wiseman, I think that'll be absolutely huge for them. And for this year, I feel better about Moses Moody cracking the rotation. We were both high on him in the pre-draft process when we were doing our mock draft. So I think we'll be excited to see there. And who knows, you know, maybe they could be players for a player in the trade market, you know, with Jonathan Kuminga or Wiseman. So that's also something to keep an eye on there. So the final two teams that made the play-in last year were the Memphis Grizzlies and the Spurs. We'll start off with the Grizzlies and just kind of talk about them. They were involved in a draft day deal that saw them sending Jonas Valanciunas to the Pelicans for Steven Adams. There was obviously some draft pick compensation in there. I'm not sure who they took with their draft pick, but I think it was a mid-teens pick. So
Zaire Williams, I believe.
Zaire Williams, potentially. Yeah, so not someone we're really expecting to crack their rotation to start, but you know, Steven Adams is going to be interesting. I think we're both big Valanciunas fans, so, you know, seeing him kind of go to a different team and Steven Adams coming in, but at the same time, I think we also both like, you know, Steven Adams as well and the toughness that he brings. You know, a lot of NBA players, you know, say he's the toughest player in the league, one of the strongest players in the league. And, you know, we'll see. Obviously, Jaren Jackson Jr. missed a lot of time last year, but you know, I think it starts and ends with Ja Morant. You know, a couple teams that we mentioned already with their point guards. And, you know, Ja Morant is a budding superstar in this league. I know you're a huge fan of Ja Morant. So what are you kind of seeing out of this Grizzlies team? How far do you think they can go?
Yeah, I love John Morant. I don't know how great the supporting cast is around him, but I think it's solid enough that they're going to compete for the playoffs again this year. Dylan Brooks took a big step last year, mm-hmm. so I'm interested to see how he responds this year. Desmond Bane was a rookie last year who, in limited playing time, looked good. He can shoot it, he can create, and he can defend. So I think that's a good backcourt 2-3 piece for them. Jaren Jackson spent most of the year on the injured list, but we know how much potential and how much skill this guy has. He can stretch the floor from 25, 30 feet. He can block shots at the rim. He's a unicorn in this league, and if he can stay on the court, I think he's going to have to emerge as that number two for them. Is he good enough to be a number two on a top team in the West? We're going to have to find out, but I think they have some depth too. I mean, Tyus Jones is a winner. Mm-hmm. D'Anthony Melton is capable of putting up numbers when he gets the playing time. Slow-mo, Kyle Anderson had an awesome year last year. Brandon Clark, Xavier Tillman, like they're a deep team.
Their depth is
They're a deep team with lots of bench and lots of young talent. It's just a question of, do they have any other go-to guys, elite players alongside mm-hmm. John Morant? And I think the only one I really see is Jaren, with the potential to, but maybe someone else will step up. We don't know.
Yeah, there's. I think there's a lot of good ancillary pieces, but like you said, there's not many creators. Obviously, Tyus Jones is a great point guard, great back. I think he's the definition of a good backup point guard. Like, he's never going to be great, can buoy you for stretches, but, you know, it all revolves around Ja. You know, maybe if Jaren Jackson, like you said, can take that step and be a post creator, that would be huge for guys like Desmond Bain and Dylan Brooks and, you know, these shooters around the perimeter. So, you know, a fun up-and-coming team. I think they're still a few pieces away, but they'll still be fighting around. I think this team is going to take the biggest free fall in the West. Obviously, you can never count a guy like Greg Popovich out, but I think the San Antonio Spurs are just going to free fall down to the bottom of the Western Conference. You know, obviously, they had Keldon Johnson, who made the Olympic team this offseason, so they're really excited about him. And, you know, DeJounte Murray, we both like a lot. But, you know, outside of... Yeah, they have a lot of under-the-radar names. Obviously, they parted with LaMarcus Aldridge and DeMar DeRozan last year, so they're really looking towards the future now. You know, give you a few words on this year and then, you know, beyond. You know, what are you kind of seeing out of the Spurs team?
I'm a little more optimistic with this Spurs team. Okay. I saw DeJounte Murray have a great step forward, take a great step forward last year.
Yep, definitely.
He's the go-to guy on this team. He creates. We're going to need to see his scoring go up a little bit with the loss of DeMar DeRozan and LaMarcus Aldridge. There's going to be a lot of points to be had for this team. I like Murray, and then the other two guys I really like are Keldon Johnson and Jakob Poeltl. Poeltl's mm-hmm. going to get the lion's share of the minutes at center this year, and he produced last year when he got minutes. Keldon, we know what Keldon can do. New addition, Doug McDermott's going to be able to space the floor for Murray. We know Murray can make plays and find him for open threes, so he's going to be helpful. Derek White, he's good whenever he's on the court. He really can't seem to stay on the court, but when he plays, he shoots the ball well. He can even he's good as a secondary playmaker next to Murray. And then a guy I really, really love, I'm all in on, is Devin Vassell. Devin Vassell this year. Kentucky, I believe. I'm pretty positive he's from Kentucky. Love most Kentucky players. Calipari knows how to produce NBA players. But was I right, Kentucky?
Florida State.
Sorry about that.
11th overall in 2020.
Regardless, I'm in on Devin Vassell. He's not going to start, I don't think, for this team. But I think as the season goes on, and especially if they do end up free-falling down the Western Conference standings, I think he'll get more and more playing time. I think he's a guy to keep an eye on for this team.
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, you know, when you got young guys and a guy like Greg Popovich, I could definitely see them overperforming. But, you know, we'll kind of see how that shakes out. So now we're going to get into the five teams that did not make the playoffs last year. The Pelicans, the Kings, the Timberwolves, the Thunder, and the Rockets. We'll start off with the Pelicans, who, like we said, made the big trade with the Grizzlies, and they acquired Jonas Valanciunas to go along with Zion Williamson in the front court. They also picked up Devontae Graham from the Hornets in a deal, I believe. I don't know if maybe they signed him as a free agent, but I thought they acquired him via trade. I think for Eric Bledsoe, maybe. I don't know. Well, that's irrelevant right now. We'll get back to that. But you know, Devontae Graham probably going to be starting at the one for them. Nikhil Alexander Walker, Brandon Ingram. I don't really know what to make of this Pelicans team. I think it all really revolves around Zion Williamson. I think we all understand and agree to that. I love the pick of Trey Murphy III, I believe, out of Virginia. I was really high on him in the pre-draft process and in our mock draft we did. They got a lot of interesting names. I know we both like Jackson Hayes, you know, really bouncy center. But, you know, what – I guess I'll just – you know, if Zion misses any time, you know, we kind of both expect them to drop down. But he's going to miss the start of the season. You know, I could see them getting out to a poor start. But, you know, what – assume Zion's healthy, assume everybody's healthy. What are you kind of seeing out of this Pelicans team?
I'm a little low on this team. I just don't see much – I mean – we know Jonas is going to give you a double-double. Ingram stepped forward and proven he can be a good scorer in the league. And we know what Zion is, but the West is tough. I think their ceiling, in my opinion, is making the play-in tournament.
I think they're fighting for the 10 they were last year.
If they're lucky. I do like Nikhil Alexander-Walker. He's my guy to be watching on this team this year. If he's going to play a lot at the 2, I think... I think he can be solid, but there's nights where if him and Devontae Graham are off and or Brandon Ingram, that team's going to struggle.
Yeah,
I don't see much from this Pelicans team. You know?
Yeah, and I think we both talked about it when we were talking about the Bulls, how, you know, how big of fans we were of Lonzo, but I think Lonzo made a lot of things go for this team. You know, I think he made, yeah, he got them in their offense, he could shoot the ball, space the floor, you know, I think you're going to see this year, you know, I think that we both agree. I know we both like Devontae Graham too, but I think we both agree that Lonzo is the better player between the two. And, you know, we'll see, you know, his true value from the Pelicans, you know, how they perform this year relative to last year. Next team I want to talk about here, the Sacramento Kings. They've been a team linked to number 25 for a few months now, but... you know, an interesting bunch. They picked Davion Mitchell in the draft this year, who I was very high on. I'm really excited to see how he plays this year. They hit a home run last year in the draft with taking Tyrese Halliburton, who I think he'll come off the bench and they'll start Buddy Hield, but he could very easily start over Buddy as well. But I don't know, you know, a fast young team, obviously De'Aaron Fox, you know... I don't know. I think this is another team where I just think their defensive issues are probably going to be too much to combat, you know, their offensive speed and everything. I could see this team as a bottom 2 or 3 team in the West as well. Is that how you kind of see them shaken out?
Yeah, I think I honestly am a little bit more optimistic on them than the Pelicans, at least.
Okay.
But at the same time, that's just relatively speaking because I'm not very optimistic either one of them. But I think the backcourt play is... yards better than the Pelicans, and then Bagley, I mean, he's got skills, he's got the tools. He's another guy who can't seem to stay healthy, stay on the court, but I mean, they're not going to be competing in the playoffs, but I mean, they could maybe make the play-in game if they're lucky. Rashawn Holmes, they just re-signed Rashawn Holmes. They added Tristan Thompson to the front court this offseason. And then, like you said, they just have those four guards in Fox, Hield, Mitchell, and Halliburton, who...
I think we like all
They're all great players. I mean, Mitchell remains to be seen, but we're all pretty confident that he's going to be a solid player. So, I just like the Kings pieces a little bit more than the Pelicans. But
yeah, I think that's definitely fair.
I don't see either team doing.
I like their backcourt a lot. You know, I think Zion's probably the best player out of those two rosters. But, you know, maybe Ingram you could argue too. But outside of that, you know, I think we're talking mainly Kings after that. So, you know, we like the Kings, but, you know, definitely not expecting too much out of them. Another team we're not expecting too much out of, the Minnesota Timberwolves, who finished third to last in the West last year. Pretty much running it back with, you know, their main cast of characters, D'Angelo Russell and Karl Anthony Towns, and, you know, obviously Anthony Edwards coming into his second year. You know, I'm not super high on them, but I'm higher than I was on Anthony Edwards. I think he's a star in the making, just his mentality and his scoring ability. You know, there was one he was talking about when his first got matched up on LeBron, and it was so funny. He was like, you know, I saw he got switched on to me, and he was like, oh, I'm shooting this right away. And you know, that's what you need in the NBA specifically. Like, you know, one guy can really swing so much, and when you just have that alpha mentality, obviously Karl-Anthony Towns is a top three center in the league, one of the best players in the league. And, you know, D'Angelo Russell is a good complimentary piece, but, you know, I think he's kind of shown his ceiling. You know, if you got a guy like Anthony Edwards that can really be that dominant guy, and I'm kind of talking myself a little bit into the Timberwolves here. I don't love the rest of their roster necessarily, but I kind of like some of their pieces. I don't know how it'll fit defensively. I think they're going to be atrocious, which is probably going to be their downfall. But, you know, what are you kind of thinking with the Timberwolves here?
Yeah, I'm not too fond of them. Like you said, Kat's awesome. You know what you're getting from Kat. I think it's fair to question, is he a number two? I mean, we know how good he is. He can score from all three levels. He can rebound the hell out of the ball. He's not great on the defensive end, and he's been the number one option ever since Jimmy Butler left, if not before, and they haven't done much. Granted, he hasn't had much around him, but I think it's a big year for Karl Anthony Towns. I think this is going to be a year where they're saying, like, all right, like, Edwards just had his rookie year. He looked great. He could be a star in the making. We've got Russell. We've got young guys like Okogie who can defend. Jaden McDaniels, who all Minnesota fans absolutely love. Jaden McDaniels. Malik Beasley took a step forward last year. So there are some pieces that are not bad with this team. So I think it's a big, I'm not going to call it a make or break year, but I think Kat has something to prove this year. Is he going to be able to get this team to the playoffs this year? I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know if they're going to.
It's interesting. I mean, you referenced that year with Jimmy Butler. You know, they lost in the first round. They were the 8 seed. They had Jimmy Butler, Andrew Wiggins, and Karl-Anthony Towns, and yeah, they were the 8 seed
come
in the
on,
conference.
Yeah,
and
come on.
So I'm not super, super excited. And, you know, the next year they didn't even qualify for the playoffs. That was the year Jimmy Butler forced his way out to the Sixers. But, you know, I'm not super excited. I was talking myself into it a little bit, but I just think they're, and I think it's a fair point to raise that Kat could be potentially a two. You know, he's put up numbers to suggest he's a one, but when you're
results,
when you're doing it in Minnesota, and like you said, when there's no results with it, it's fair to question.
Anthony Davis with the Pelicans got them to the playoffs.
It's a great comp.
Got them to the playoffs. He didn't make a ton of noise in the playoffs, but he got them there. And you could say, oh, he had Boogie, but that's just for 1 year, if I remember correctly.
Right.
So, like, he got them to the playoffs regardless.
Drew Holiday was there, too. But still, I think you're right. I think they're on the same level. Like, I think they're both twos, but I think Anthony's definitely...
I think Anthony has more of a potential to be a one than...
That's fair. Cat, I think like, Anthony Davis is, like, right on that cusp. Like,
yeah,
I think he's the best two in the league, or, mm-hmm, like you said, when he was with the Pelicans as a number one, you know, like an 8 seed number one.
But I think it's worth mentioning, I think Edwards could be the number one on the team if he progresses. I mean, that's going to be my big thing to watch. Is I think they're going to go as he goes, because we've seen what Kat can do with this team. I mean, D'Lo is D'Lo. We were both, I think, high on him coming out of Ohio State. I think he had great tools, but I think this team is going to go as far as Anthony Edwards progresses. If Anthony Edwards takes another step forward, I think they have a chance to make the play in and push for something. Mm-hmm. If he stays where he is and everyone else does like we think they're going to, then I think it could be another lottery pick.
Anthony Edwards averaged 19 points per game last year as a rookie. He played every game, didn't start every game, though. It was more towards the second year. You know, it was a volume scorer, so, you know, he might be that number one. So I think we spent, you know, a little bit too much time on the Timberwolves there. But no, they have some interesting pieces, so I think it was, you know, good discussion there. So the last two teams we'll talk about here are the Thunder and the Rockets. The Thunder, I feel like we both like the Thunder. I definitely love Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Love
I think he's one of the most underrated players in the league. Yep. But outside of that, you just saw Sam Presti go to work here and just completely tear down the roster last year. And, you know, they have first-round picks for days. But I'm not expecting anything out of them this year. I think they'll probably – I could see them even trading, you know, maybe Lu Dort or, you know, some of the – I don't even know, like – I don't think they trade Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I think they would have traded him last year. He's a, you know, if I, you know, what if, I'm going to throw a hypothetical at you. Would you trade Ben for a package built around Shai, or do you think that's a little too low? And this is just an off the cuff kind of tangent argument or discussion, but I wanted to get your, because we'll talk about Shai here. There's not much to talk about the rest
I really like Shai a lot. They're, He's good. He's really good. I mean, we'd probably have to ask for something else back.
And they have plenty of first-round picks
to give. Yeah, we'd have to get something back, but... I mean, him and Dort and a first or two, I mean, I'd consider it. But at the same time, at this point, we got to be kind of just... I mean, if we were going to trade him for pennies on the dollar, we would have done it already.
I don't even know if it's... like
okay, quarter on the dollar. I'm just saying. He's good. I like SGA a lot, but... Ben's an all-defensive player. We can't forget about what he brings. We know what his downfall is, obviously, but he does so many other things on the court that you're just not getting a player back who does what he does on the court.
So. No, that's fair, definitely. I just wanted to raise it. I mean, Shea last year, 24 points per game, 6 assists, 5 rebounds, shot 50% from the field, 41% from three, and 80% from the line.
Big fan.
I think we're both huge fans of him. So I just wanted to get your kind of take on whether you thought that was something reasonable. But outside of that, we're not expecting.
Josh Giddey. He's my one guy to watch on that team.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, we'll keep an eye on him. And he'll probably end up getting a lot of tick for them this year. So I'm interested to see there. The last team we'll talk about on the preview show today is the Houston Rockets, the team that held the number two overall pick last year. Yeah, it was Cade Cunningham went number one to the Pistons. Houston got number two. Obviously, the James Harden saga last year was pretty crazy. Am I missing something? Where's John Wall? Is he out for the year? Did he get traded? Like, what's going on here? I thought I had him starting at the one this year.
I believe he's in a situation similar to Wall. Is he not?
He's sitting out until they find a trade partner.
Oh, he's not going to play at all?
I'm pretty sure they said. Okay. Let me get a quick look up on that. I'll give a cue.
I thought they said that he was he agreed to play, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it was the opposite.
Yeah, just check something out there. But you know, the emergence of Kevin Porter Jr. last year was a big, big step for them. Obviously, I think we're both big Jalen Green fans. Just an unbelievable scorer. And on a team that lacks a lot of talent, they need those scorers. So I think Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green are both in for some big years. You know, we like Christian Wood. I kind of like Jayshon Tate. You know, they still have Eric Gordon. They have some pieces, Daniel House. But, you know, I think it really is just going to depend on the development of Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green. And, you know, how far they can take them. We're obviously not expecting a ton, but this is a fun young bunch who can score and defend. You know, I could, you know, if they overperform a little bit, I could see them, you know, being right around the Pelicans or the Kings in that aspect, but not expecting too much there. So we have so that's what I thought it was. So John Wall, they agreed to find a potential trade partner for him. So he's going to sit out to start the year. Yeah, I had him in there, but that was just, I forgot about that news there. So, I mean, that'll be interesting. I mean, you know, do you kind of agree that they'll be up fighting for the 10 seed, or do you kind of think they'll just kind of be down low again?
Personally, I don't. I think they're just not ready for that yet. Kevin Porter, he's solid, but he's shown some inconsistencies as well. I'm not sure how great he is on the defensive end. Maybe he is good, and I'm just not aware of it, but I know he can light it up on the offensive end. I do like Jalen Green a lot. I don't know how great he'll be as a rookie. We saw he could get it done in the G League, which is against grown men, so he's definitely got the potential, the athleticism, all the tools to get it done. I just don't know if they're good enough to compete for a play-in spot in the West. Christian Wood, I really like. Old process sixer. Whenever he's on the court, he seems to be a walking double-double. He's improved his range out to the three-point line so he can shoot it from out there.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see much with this team, honestly, though, this year. Hopefully they can get another top 10 pick and pair someone next to Jalen Green, and then maybe they can start to rise up the standings. One guy I do like, their other first-round pick, was Alperen Sengun.
Yeah.
I forget where he was from.
Sengun. I was going to say overseas.
Yeah, I want to say...
I thought Spain, maybe? Are we both off here?
I'm trying to find. My guess is Turkey.
Okay. I'm going to go with Spain.
We got not telling me. I gotta look that up. But I do like Sengun. I think he's gonna play for this team, and I think it could be good. So
Alperen Sengun, Turkey. Yep, nice. You're right there.
Nice. It's like one for four today.
There we go.
Devin Vassell, Kentucky. I apologize, but yeah. So I do like Sengun. He's another guy. I think their two rookies were two good picks for them last year, and. Yeah, I don't see much from them, but...
Yeah, they're in the rebuild, and, you know, they're down there. So not too much expectations there, but definitely going to be a fun team to watch with their explosive scoring. But that's going to wrap it up at our season preview there. We are going to have tons of NBA coverage throughout the season, and, you know, talking about there, like I mentioned, we are going to have a full 76er discussion, state of, you know, the Philadelphia sports kind of scene. So keep an eye out for that episode to come on out. But that will wrap it up for this edition. Just to put a bow on the show, please hit that subscribe button if you enjoyed what we talked about today. Also, if you enjoyed the podcast as a whole, please leave a 5-star review on the platform you're listening on. It would really mean a lot and help the podcast reach new audiences. Only takes a couple seconds, so if you guys wouldn't mind dropping that 5-star, it would mean a lot, like I said. If you want to follow us on social media, check the description below. I hope you all enjoyed, and I can't wait to see you back here again next time. I am your host, Noah Gillian, but hey, this is just one man's opinion.